This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the September 26th edition of Invest Talk. This is your one-hour session about money for Friday, last day of the week. Now, one way we keep in sync with your interests and concerns is through the phone calls. You can get your question or comment to us the traditional way at 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, or via Twitter at Invest Talk. That's with two T's. That's our Twitter ID. Or you can go directly to our website and click on the Contact Steve button. Send me an email. Many ways you can do that. You may get a hold of us. And we know you listen to Invest Talk because most of the listeners are taking an active interest in their financial well-being, or else you wouldn't listen to the show. So we know you're not just leaving it up to chance that you're making the right financial decisions. Therefore, we think you'd be interested in our 3 hours Saturday morning wealth conference that would give you a lot of information, facts and figures and facets about financing and about your retirement planning. And Justin and I made a list of all the things, all the issues we think are essential. Okay, and we're going to go over many of them. And that's coming up a week from tomorrow, October 4th at the San Jose Hyatt House. And on the agenda is a demonstration of our free and risk analysis tool. It's going to be very easy, simple, quick. You'll see how it works, and you can do it yourself to understand your own risk tolerance, what you like to take. It's really, really a nice little tool. So we're going to demonstrate that, have a little short demonstration of that. But we're also going to talk about every type of financial vehicle, 401ks, 529 plans, Coverdales, wills, trust, insurance, college, anything financial. There's many topics we're going to talk about. IRAs, brokerage accounts, we'll look at annuities, Social Security, pension income. We're going to go over a lot of things. And unfortunately, 3 hours is probably not nearly enough time, but we'll go over it in enough detail. And we're also going to show you how to find on the internet. I get this question all the time. How do I search for stocks? How do I find stocks? We're going to show you free websites on the internet and a lot of part of the conference, how to find your possible stocks or bonds or ETFs you want to buy by filtering through all the thousands of choices that you have. How to build the filter. It's really quite, it's simple and it's free. And we're going to use free websites to help you do that. That's October 4th at the Hyatt House in San Jose. And it's $35 if you sign up before October 28th, on or before October 28th. That's by this weekend. If not, that's a $10 saving. If not, it's going to be $45 per person online or at the door after the 28th. So think about signing up this weekend if you would. By the 29th, save a little money. Helps us, know how many people are coming, how much food to order. That's what it does. Just go to investtalk.com to sign up, and I hope to see you there. I really would like to see you there. I would. You can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk, or in between times, just leave your question. Here's one of those questions that came in our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. Great show listening to you on the podcast. I've got a beginner's question, and it's regarding the valuation of stocks. If you buy a share and it goes up in value, let's say 10, 20, 30%, have you got a hard and fast rule when you actually will sell? Does it depend on the PE ratio? Does it depend on other factors that I, as a beginner investor, might not be aware of? So if you could maybe elaborate a little bit on that, when to sell a share that's gone up either dramatically or even moderately in price, that would be much appreciated. Thanks again. Great show. Bye-bye.
And that really is a good question. When do you sell a stock? Okay, it's not based on PE. It's price-earnings ratio. It's not necessarily... When you buy a stock, you analyze it. and you set a target date where you think it's going to go based on its value and its growth. And we understand that's a guesstimate. We don't know for sure. You're using a lot of factors to determine that value. But earnings and growth rate of earnings and sales, those are the key things. Return on equity and profit margins and debt, those are the issues that you have to look at. Then you write that down. When it reaches that target date, hopefully it does, when it reaches that target price, then you reanalyze that stock. Is it worth more or is it not? If all of a sudden it's not worth more and you feel that this is about as much as it's going to go, you don't necessarily sell it right away. You use a chart to wait for it to break something, break a moving average, break down a support area. That's what charts really will help you do. But as long as it's an upper trend, you want to keep it, because stocks get way overvalued and they get way undervalued. Now, there are different reasons to sell a stock. Valuation is one. Another is you're not comfortable with a change in management. Maybe that was why you don't like it. You see competition in the field that they're not prepared to deal with. You know, a new product coming out, Apple coming out with a new phone, and Research for Motion's old phone's not working anymore. Remember that? BlackBerry? They still worked, but they were getting killed. And you saw the trend coming in there, so you had to get out of that stock. So there's different fundamental things. Read a good book called Creative Destruction. When a new industry destroys an old industry, don't be an owner of the old industry stocks, okay? How do you identify that? No matter what the price is, you don't want that. Okay? Good question, though. Really good question. Six places where you can retire on $1,250 a month or less. Six places. Now, if you want to retire, that's another issue. But you can retire there on $1,250 a month or less, as long as you don't mind leaving the country, the U.S. That's one of our talking points today. Also, I want to has Tesla run out of steam? Have you seen the stock lately? Has it run out of steam? I think it's a good question to ask right now. If you own Tesla, you need to ask that question. Is it time to exit? Which, you know, the caller just said, how do you know when to leave? Well, we're going to talk about Tesla. Also, did you know half of the Chinese wealthy want to leave the country within 5 years? Half. It was a survey, Barclays study. Is that a lot? Sounds like a lot. Don't make these mistakes in your middle age. Don't make these mistakes. I got five of them. Don't make these mistakes in middle age. A lot of people do. I got five of them. Those are going to be our talking points today. But, of course, it's what's on your mind that's important. What do you want to talk about? The market today rebounded 167 points up on the Dow. Remember, it was down 265 yesterday. 45 points up on the NASDAQ and 17 points up on the S&P. Now, what does this tell you about the market? What does this tell you what's going on? Did you see the extreme volatility we've had this week? What is that saying? Is it important? I mentioned this yesterday. I wrote about it. That volatility of this magnitude that we're seeing does not necessarily mean the market's going to go down. But volatility of this magnitude has often preceded a change in direction in the market. But it doesn't have to. But it almost every time there is a change in direction of the market, there's a lot of volatility. Okay, so if our market was in a downtrend and we started to get this volatility, chances are good we've seen a bottom. And we've been in an uptrend forever and we're getting this volatility, chances are good we can move down. But do not make any decisions based on what we've seen now. This is only one minor factor to consider. Volatility. This is a huge volatility. I mean, today's move up, pretty strong, didn't make up for yesterday's move down. So was it a down week or an up week? It was down a down week. But that doesn't mean Matter of fact, it's right near a high it made at the end of the month, right, and that was right near the high it made in July, and that's where it ended today, a little bit below those highs. So, you know, we've gone, what, 1, 2, 3 months of sideways movement, basically. Now, I say sideways because there was a down spike up there and there was an up spike up there, but now we're finding some resistance right in that area. But that's the market. So remember I tell you don't take one day as anything? And I even mentioned this yesterday. Yesterday's big down move doesn't mean anything. Look what you had today, a big up move. What you're trying to determine is there a trend break? Or is the market weakening? Or is it just going sideways, gathering more strength for a move up? That's what you're trying to determine. One day, 2 days, a week, doesn't tell you that. Doesn't. You've got to look at a lot of different things. Have you weighed in on our Twitter poll this week? There's a new way to get into a conversation with us at Invest Talk. Here's this week's question. While the math shows it's better to make sure you have your retirement accounts before funding college expenses, are you putting your child's education ahead of your retirement savings? Are you? We'd love to hear from you. You'd love to read your comments. You can send it via Twitter now at InvestTalk, and that's with two T's. You can get your question to us now the same way, but you can also use the old-fashioned way using the phone, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up this hour on InvestTalk 101, Steve will talk about your mutual fund's style and why it makes a difference. And do you have a question or comment about today's market? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's start off with those six places to retire for $1,250 a month or less. And, of course, you have to go overseas. You have to go out of the country. You're not going to retire here for that kind of money. First one, and these are not all terrible places. Many of them I wouldn't want to go to. But the first one is Ceiba, Philippines. I don't know if I would not. I think that might be a place I could handle. Rent there is $450 a month. Basic groceries, $200. Electricity, $30. Pretty cheap. And the next one is where I don't know if I can go and live there and be happy. Chiang Mai, Thailand. That's number two. I could, though, go to the third one, Cuca, Ecuador. I could go to Ecuador. I kind of like, I've never been there, but from what I know of Ecuador, I could live there. I don't know about the humidity. I might have trouble with that. And this one, remember, rent there is $450. And this one, you've heard this one, that's Grenada, Nicaragua. The rent there is $300. And then Hoi An, Vietnam. How about that? Rent there is $300. Total for the month average monthly expense in Grenada, $752. Much less than $1,250. It's $1,075 in Vietnam. And how about Medellin, Colombia? You know, it's a fairly modern city that's got a really bad rap because of all the drug dealers and stuff. It's fairly modern. Now, one of the problems I see in every one of these places, probably too humid for me in the summer. Every one of these, I don't know if I can handle the summer humidity. So, now that's if you want to spend $1,250 or less, you're gonna have to leave the United States. Don't know if I want to do that. I'm not leaving the U.S. You can see a link to this retirement location list on investtalk.com. If you want to read more about it, they list all the costs and. You know, you can take a look at the different factors in each country. So we're open to your questions and any money matter that you want may want to talk about. Our numbers are 888-992-4278, 888-99-CHART. We may be talking about 529 plans. You want to talk about that? Give me a call.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, there are times when an investor should bail the second he hears good news. When good news is a signal to sell. That's our talking point on the Monday, September 29th Invest Talk, and we hope you can listen to that podcast. If you're near Northern California, you can sign up now for our Saturday morning wealth workshop at the San Jose Hyatt House. It's on October 4th from 9 to noon. You can find out more about it and register if you'd like on investtalk.com. This is the Friday, September 26th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. When good news is a signal to sell, that's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And of course, there's still plenty of time today to get in touch. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. You drive the discussion with your questions. We want to help you fill in the blanks if we can. And you can reach us anytime you want, whenever the question pops in your head. 888-99-CHART. And here's how we do it.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What's your take on the AT&T of Canada, Rogers Communication, R as a rabbit, C as a Charlie, I as in India? Looks like it's broken recent support. I think it was 38 or something. But the payout ratio, I mean, the dividend looks sustainable. But what's your take on it? Thanks for the wisdom. Bye.
Yeah, this is Rogers Communications. It has been traded in a channel since February. Up to $41, down to 38, and today, right today, it's 38.35, up 34 cents today. It's been in that channel. It's right at the bottom of that channel right now. It hasn't broke that channel, but it's right at the bottom. Canadian provider wireless communications, cable TV, periodicals publishing, radio and TV broadcasting, a $20 billion company, not growing, flat. Earnings, sales are flat. Earnings are down 13% this year, up 4% next year. Why do you want to buy a stock with flat earnings and pretty much flat sales? Because it pays a 4.5% dividend. Has a very good return on equity number, so those dividends are pretty solid. It's not, that dividend is solid. It's not going to, they're not going to reduce it. They have pretty good cash flow. They also have a lot of debt. So that would be one of my biggest issues is the debt. I look at that carefully, make sure that cash flow can sustain it and sustain the dividend. From my quick look at it, it looks like it can. It can. And it just paid a dividend on September 10th, by the way. So now you're going to wait a long time to get another dividend. But it's a good, solid company. It's right at support. You might want to wait to see if it holds this support and starts up again before you buy it. But it's kind of trapped in a range from February, and it's, the chart itself, I mean, back in late 2014, it topped out at $45. Hasn't seen that. It's now at 38. So you can see it hasn't done well that well this year. And there's no reason for it to do well. There isn't. Now, it's going to make $3.09. It's a $38 stock. That's not expensive. That's about fairly priced. It's not even worth a market P of 15. It's really not, because it's not growing. That's RCI, Rogers Communications. Rogers Communications. How about Tesla? Has Tesla run out of steam? Now, have you seen the chart lately? It's 13% off its high, and most of that is this month. Okay, it could have made a high at the beginning of this month or at the end of last month. That's where it made the high, the last day of August, it looks like. And it's 13% off that high. Now, I think Tesla, and I've said this before, I think Tesla is going to be a major auto company in the United States, electric auto company. They have one model right now, basically the Model S, the high-end Model S, but they're going to have Model X next come out this next year, an SUV, and the next 2 or 3 years, a Model 3, which will be the mass market car for you and me. So they're trying to develop different models, different cars. And analysts have it rated as a buy. So maybe it hasn't run out of steam. However, the thing you have to look at Tesla is that it's extremely expensive. J.P. Morgan has a price target of $190. It's selling for $246 now. That's a 23% decrease. decrease. When I say it's running out of steam, it's not because it's not growing. It's still going to grow fast. The company's still going to grow very fast. The steam was investors pushing up the price. It's nowhere near any of the auto companies' prices when you start looking at the earnings and valuations, except for one factor, and that is the growth rate. Now, the growth rate 4 quarters ago was 101%. Before that, it was a lot more. But 4 quarters ago, it was 101%. 3 quarters ago, quarters is 10%. Last quarter was 90%. A year plus ago, the growth was 700,600%. See, now every company runs into this. They run out of growth. Now, there's still very high growth here for Tesla. It's going to be 100%. But, okay, let's say it's 100%. And it's going to make $3.28 next year from $1.06. Should you give it? Should you give it a 50, 60 PE? Is that what it deserves? Maybe 75 PE? That's very rich. Very rich PE. Now, the five-year average PE for a Tesla, as low as 151, as high as 429. It's at 363 now. So what do you think? Has it run out of steam? I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't buy it at this level. It's too expensive. I think you're going to pull back, and maybe that's when you want to buy it. And it's had a pullback down to 180 this year. 180. It's 246 now. Went up to 280. Now it's down to 246. If it goes back to 180, that's where you want to be a buyer. A quick check of my checkup schedule. I will be in San Jose on October 22nd. If you'd like to schedule an hour meeting with me for an individual retirement account checkup, I could do it. I could do a number of these, five or six a day, then my voice gives out. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. It's a 1 hour I think is well spent.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Is there a question about investing that you think is too dumb to ask? Well, the smart thing is to ask it. Steve's here for you at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jim in San Francisco. Let's talk about oil companies. How you doing, Jim?
Oh, hey, Steve. In the past, I think I've heard you mention that there was one major oil company that's in the development of natural gas as well.
Yes.
And I think it might be ExxonMobil, but I'm not sure.
That is true. It's ExxonMobil. They bought, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, I can't remember exactly, a major producer of natural gas in the United States. And it made them instantly the biggest natural gas producer, ExxonMobil. So they have bet a big swath of money in that industry. And I think, actually, it's smart. I think natural gas is going to be more and more prevalent. I just think it's a cleaner energy. Yeah, so.
Are there any energy, like big oil companies, ETFs that contain a lot of big oil?
Yeah, there is. Let's see. Oil is just on oil prices. OIL is oil exchange rate by corresponding to the IPAD. Crude oil. No, that's not it. There's a number of them. If you send me an email, Jim, I'll try to get you a list of a couple of them that hold all the major oil companies. But they're out there. It's pretty easy to find. If you Google it and just say, oil ETFs, you'll get a list.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. Thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, there's a number of them out there. And the reason why there's a number of them, because there's different parts of the oil. And you're asking for the large integrated oil company. I know there's one for that. There's one for drillers. There's one for there's several for storage and transportation companies of oil and natural gas. So it depends on what part. You can get an ETF in almost any part of that oil patch and energy patch out there. Interesting. Thanks for the call. Half of China's wealth want to leave China within 5 years. Now, there's a survey. Barclays did a study. 2,000 high net worth individuals, and they mean by that, they mean $1.5 million or more. Half of them, 47%, want to leave China within 5 years. Is that a lot? How many people want to leave the United States? What's the average worldwide of rich people wanting to leave their country? The average worldwide is 29%. So initially you think 45%, 47%, that's a ton. Yeah, well, it is quite a lot. What are the main reasons? Well, given by these 2,000 people they asked, the main reason was better education and employment opportunities for their children. Now, isn't that the same world over? Everybody wants better stuff for their children than they have for them. That's a natural human desire. And apparently they don't see it in China necessarily. The second most popular, 78% gave that as the reason why they would leave. 73% said economic security. So that's why they want to leave China. What are the lowest countries? Now you should be able to guess. U.S. is one of the lowest, but not the lowest. There's another large country that's lower than us. India. 5% in India want to leave. Well, they're talking about the wealthy. And 6% in the United States of the wealthy want to leave. 5 and 6. So those are the lowest countries. Just in case you thought everybody wants to leave the U.S., no. I think most people deep down in their hearts realize how good we have it here in the United States, because we do. And then, of course, I'm going to get emails saying, well, what about this and what about that? I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm just saying we have a lot of things to be grateful for and thankful for. But I thought that was interesting. Survey, 47% of people want to leave China. And you can understand why. I mean, you're pretty restricted there. It's time for InvestTalk 101. Every mutual fund has a style. Did you know that? You probably did. All mutual fund investment objectives, all of them, are referred to as a style. They're objectives of that fund. And generally speaking, analysts like it when the funds, and I'm one of them, that stays within their style. And they'll say what that style is in their perspective. And what I mean by style, they will say what kind of investments they're going to be in. They're going to be a large cap growth stock. They're going to be in small cap growth stocks, value stocks. They're going to be in bonds. They're high quality bonds, low quality bonds, junk bonds. They're going to be in a sector of oil. They'll tell you what their style is. Now, there's so many mutual funds and so many styles, yet no one knows which style is going to work when, right? No one knows that. So it's up to you to make the proper mix or just do the S&P 500. If there's a mutual fund, that's their style. They invest in the indexes, and they'll tell you which one. So, and now, you know, they have mutual funds that, you know, have a 70-30 split, longs and shorts, meaning they think the market's going to go up for 70% of their portfolio, and 30% of their portfolio, they're betting that it's going to go down. It gets more and more complex. So all mutual funds have this framework, this style of investment. And many times, you can kind of guess what it is by their name, but not always. You have to read the perspective. I know you don't want to, but you really need to read the perspective. And that's InvestTalk 101. Do you have questions about how to determine a fund's style? Maybe you do. Give me a call. We'll talk it out. You can also send me an email at contactsteve@investtalk.com.
Let it do its magic. Try our free risk analyzer. It's a handy tool that can tell you a lot about yourself and how you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes about 3 minutes. It's free right there on investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Jeff from Salinas, California, podcast listener. I was hoping you could elaborate on what made 529 plans for other states better in comparison to, let's say, California. I've heard an InvestTalk replay point out that Illinois, for example, was better than California's, but I was hoping you could point out what the pros and cons were for other states versus California in particular. And I look forward to hearing your response in the next podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, great question. He's from Salinas, California, which is the lettuce capital of the U.S. They grow lots of lettuce in that area. 529 programs, and the 529 program is sponsored by each individual state. I think there's 34 states or so, somewhere around there, that have 529 programs. The framework is from the federal government, but each state has to set up their own. And each state has its own rules about the 529 program. And some of the states are restrictive and some are less restrictive. Now, I am not an expert in this. I just know from talking to people and talking to institutional people which states tend to be less restricted. Florida, I believe, has one. Illinois is one. California is more restrictive, meaning as your child gets closer to the college age, they tell you what you have to invest in. They give you less and less choices. Now, I'm not an expert on this. I don't know what those are. So I can't really specify. I just know that there's less. I would prefer to be less restricted in investments I pick, and therefore I'm going to go to the state that has that. Now, you can be a resident in one state and buy a 529 program in another state. You don't have to be a resident in that state. So, like, if you live in California, it doesn't mean you're stuck with California 529. No. You can buy another one from another state. And therefore, you know, check it out. Make sure, you know, investigate what you can do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We had a pretty volatile week. We had GDP numbers revised. Second quarter GDP numbers, and I think I've mentioned numerous times how they do this. They initially come after the end of the quarter, they come out with an initial GDP number. Then they revise that twice more. So it comes out three times. Okay, the one we got today for the second quarter was the third and final revision. And it was second quarter growth was 4.6. And it was 4.4, I think that's what it was. Yes, I'm pretty sure. And so it was up two ticks, revised up two ticks. Now remember, the first quarter, it was down 1.9%. So we have a little over 2% average so far for the first half of the year. And now we're going to get our first look at the third quarter coming up next week or the week after. I'm not sure what day they report. We'll get our first look at the third quarter. And I think it's going to be, you know, 2 to 3%, somewhere in there, I think. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it's more than 3. It'd be a pleasant surprise. But we'll see. I think the economic numbers are doing pretty good. I can't see it being 4. That would be a huge surprise. Don't make these mistakes in your middle age. These are mistakes that people generally do make, but I'm trying to warn you against them. I'm going to talk about when you're in your 40s, somewhere in that area. Okay, when you're in 40s and you remember you're now making good money, you should be, hopefully. You're in the middle of your career, you're starting to take off, you're feeling confident. Don't supersize your house. Don't go and buy some huge mansion because you can afford it. And you don't need it. Don't supersize a house. Don't put your children's college fund before your retirement fund. Don't do that. And one of the reasons I say this is because if you don't have enough to retire, you're going to have to move in with your children when you're old. And that you're not going to do them any favors, you know, by doing that. Most people save too little in their 40s. They don't change from when they're in their 20s. They don't increase savings as they're increasing their salary. You need to start slamming that money into a 401k. You start putting more and more money aside. Don't invest too conservatively. Don't be too conservative. Some people, what happens is they pretty aggressive when they have a little bit of money in the market, but in their 40s, you may have several hundred thousand dollars. All of a sudden, they get conservative because they're afraid to lose it. That's a mistake. You still have many, many years of investment life left. And finally, don't treat your 401k or the equity in your house as a cash register, as a piggy bank, taking money out of it all the time. That was the death knell of the housing market, and all those people kept borrowing money out of their house to sustain a lifestyle and a bigger home and more cars that wasn't sustainable. Couldn't do it forever. Couldn't. You see what happens. Reach me now at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note. That will come directly to me. Just click on the contact Steve at investtalk.com or send a message to at investtalk on Twitter.
Choosing the right investment products, adjusting to life's surprise events. If it's about money and it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
Hello, my name is Derek. I'm a podcast listener from Toledo, Ohio. My question is about the stock FedEx, FDX. I currently own the stock, and I was wondering if now would be a good time to buy more, or if I would look for a pullback, or if now is in fact the time to buy. And also, as well, you could add your current value on it. Thank you very much.
No, now's not the time to buy FedEx. About a week and a half ago, they popped up on great earnings, went from 150, about 154 to 160, and now it's trading sideways, and today it's 159, almost 160, still sideways. Huh? And so what happens is it had this great pop up, and now it's high. Well, it was high before, as far as valuations. So you want to wait for a pullback. FedEx has pullbacks just like every other major stock. It's a big blue chip stock, very good company, a company that you would not mind owning in your account for long term. But again, you want to buy these stocks when it's on sale, when it's cheap. Now, what is it worth? They're going to make $10.81 next year. They're making $8.98 this year. So at $10, 15 PE, it's a $150 stock. It's at $160 now. Is it worth more than that? I think it is. I think it's worth $175, $200. But the growth rate is not huge on sales. Sales are only 3 to 5% growth rate. It's been like that for years. But the earnings have gone up, so they've been cutting costs or getting more efficient. So the five-year PE is 12 to 35, and it's at 21 now. So I think you're going to get an opportunity to buy this stock. And I wouldn't be surprised you got that opportunity before the end of the year. That'll be less pricey, and I'd buy it then. I do like FedEx. I mean, FedEx is attached to the economic cycle. During the recession, it got as low as $34 instead of $150. But it earns a lot more money. But what happens now, today, it earns a lot more money. But it will, the earnings fall in a recession. So it's attached to the economic cycle. When you have a recession, well, ideally, you want to buy this stock in the middle of a deep recession. That's really what you want to buy. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. So let's try to get you in on the last segment, huh, with your question. Call us, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is InvestTalk.
Do you know the difference between an AB trust and an A share? Talk to Steve about it, or maybe you have your own question. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see Bill Gross? Now, Bill Gross is the superstar bond manager of PIMCO. He started PIMCO, grew it to a huge company, and he stepped down and is going to be working for Janus Capital. What? That's a pretty big shocker. He's not going to be, PIMCO is now, he's not an owner of the company anymore. He owns part of it, I'm sure. But anyways, he's moving to Janus Capital. And that was a pretty big shock out there. PIMCO Total Return Fund, which I know a lot of you own, has been historically one of the best performing bond funds out there. But in the last 18 months, there's been $68 billion flowing out of that fund. It's not been working very good. And I think Bill Gross has got some personality issues out there. Remember, the Al Arine was the co-CIO of PIMCO, and he stepped down. And he was there for many, many years. And there was rumors coming out that Bill Gross was showboating and trying to take all the credit for all the returns. And maybe he deserved it. I don't know. But I don't know. I just feel that I know from certain inside sources at PIMCO, because PIMCO's down the street from me in Newport Beach, that working there is not a pleasant experience. It's not pleasant working with Bill Gross as an employee. He is extremely demanding. Now, I don't mind a demanding boss. I understand that. But we're talking demanding in the form of yelling and why aren't you working 18 hours a day and you should have no other life but this work, that kind of stuff. And so I'm predicting he won't last long at Janus. A year, 2 years, he'd be gone. Because there's something going on that we don't know about or behind the scenes here. Why would he leave PIMCO to go to Janus? Janus is much, much smaller. Their bond portfolio is tiny compared to PIMCO. And he was the founder of PIMCO. Why wouldn't he step down graciously? Why would he just all of a sudden quit? It seemed odd to me. Let's answer one more question before we're done with this hour. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us.
Hey, Steve, this is Ben from Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm a young investor, sophomore in college, and I want to go into finance and was wondering if you had any good advice for a younger person trying to start out in the stock market. Any info is great. Thank you.
If you want to start working in this industry, this is a very difficult industry, but it's also very fun. I enjoy it a lot. But it's also difficult. There are pressures. When you're wrong, you feel it, especially when you're managing other people's money. So you have to have a personality that can handle that. You got to be able to stay calm, okay, in any situation. You got to make logical, cold-hearted decisions when you're talking about lots and lots of people's money, because you can't get wrapped up in the day-to-day gyrations. Because it can get you in a lot of trouble and you'll go home with an ulcer. I used to work in Wall Street. I used to be right down there by Wall Street. I used to work for an insurance company right on Wall Street. And remember, those were the days where there was floor traders, okay, on the New York Stock Exchange floor. And they would come out at lunchtime, and that was usually, they would usually spend an hour, 2 hours drinking their lunches. I knew a number of them, and they... Man, it was a tough, tough job. Very stressful for them. They could lose millions of dollars in a day and make millions of dollars in a day. Look at it and think it's glamorous. Well, there is part of it that is. You're a money manager, yeah? But also can be very, very stressful. So don't go in there with your eyes closed. Go in there with your eyes open. It's a great profession. I love doing it. I will do it for many more years. but it is also has, you know, it's stressful. It can be very stressful. You've got to have the right personality. Before we close for the hour, join us on October 5th in San Jose, less than 2 weeks from now. It's a week from tomorrow, actually, for our workshop, our wealth workshop. We can help you map out your retirement readiness strategy. Are you ready for it? And if you're not, how can we get you ready? That's September. If you sign up by September 28th, this weekend, you'll save 10 bucks. So go to investtalk.com and sign up. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.